I'm going to go ahead and go through some formalities while we're waiting for the council members to be seated. Those present in the room are council persons Kilpatrick, Diller, Weiner, Cartier, Holland, Street. I'm George Smiley, co-chair of finance, and this establishes the needed quorum of seven. So what's your pleasure for the minutes of 9/12/17 finance committee meeting?
So moved. Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? I'm voting. Councilman Woods is here. Okay. A little bit of housework so we can keep moving when we get going. R-17-177, the appointment of Julie Fiber, that interview has already taken place. 178, send the appointment of James Young, that interview had already taken place. Christopher Simon, that is a reappointment. They only had one interview, and also he is out of town for a funeral, so he will not be here for that, but again, that is a reappointment. With that, first on the agenda, we have R-17-176, the reappointment of Mr. Eric J. Monzo. Councilman Weiner?
As per title.
Okay. And this is a reappointment as well. Any questions on the members of council?
None? Okay. He's here.
Would you like to come up and speak?
Or? Sure.
Please
Eric
have a
Monzo.
Seat.
Thank you. It is my honor and pleasure to serve as a volunteer and now chairing the Ethics Commission. So. I have another term, I think, of 3 years potentially coming up, to the extent that this council agrees and approves. Just want to note a couple things. The Ethics Commission is working hard and has, I think, done a pretty diligent job, particularly thanking Council Julie Sebring. But we are down now because of one commissioner's term has expired and she did not seek to be reappointed. So I believe it is a county council appointment, and there is a lot of good work that still needs to be done on behalf of the Ethics Commission. So anything that this council can do to have someone appointed would certainly help me and the other commissioners, because as you all know, it's a volunteer role, and we all look forward to serving the public, serving the community, but we need to fill that void. So that's recent, as of last week, but if anybody has any, obviously, suggestions to fill that void, I personally would greatly appreciate it.
Any questions, any comments from members of council?
Yeah, just for the benefit of council, the woman was the previous chair, and she's term limited, and
right.
She did a great job, but it's up to us to come up with somebody of quality, and thank you for your service and your willing to serve another term.
Okay.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. Okay. Councilman Bell has joined us. I want to thank you very much, and just so you know, I have sought an Ethics Commission waiver to allow me to sit. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of whispering over here. Next, we have R-17-180, consenting to the appointment of P.K. Jane, and I got his permission to use that abbreviation, to the Newcastle County Investment Advisory Board. Mr. Jane, would you like to come forward? And this will be Councilman Weiner or Councilwoman Diller. Both?
As per title.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
By way of just a brief introduction, I am honored and flattered to be invited to serve as a volunteer for the Advisory Council on the Investment Board. And by way of just a sideline of experience, I moved to Delaware a couple of years back from New York City area. I lived in New Jersey and worked in Manhattan on Wall Street for 30 years. My experience consists of brokerage, investment banks, and wealth management, and managing portfolios for retail high net worth clients. Primarily, the majority of the experience consists of fixed income with some equities portfolios thrown in. And I'm delighted to have this chance, and hopefully you guys agree and would appoint me.
For me, I'd like to thank you for coming forward to serve. I look forward to, this is a newly established committee. You'll be getting it off on the ground floor, and I know I appreciate it, and I will yield to Councilman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for volunteering for this position. This is a board that we've tried starting a couple of times and hit walls each time. So as Councilman Smiley said, you are on the ground floor, and this is a board that most governments had, and this one failed to have. So thank you so much for your service.
Councilman Vaughn.
Yes, I'd just like to second the comments which were made, and also encourage you to review both the substantive and procedural law which applies to your role, and seek continuing legal education from the law department for the substantive and procedural law that applies.
Is any of this online?
I would hope so. It should be. If not, if you would please let council know, we're working with our administration. We have a technology meeting coming up where we are slowly but steadily putting all the information online.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to call UVS to the table for a brief presentation. And while they're coming to the table, housekeeping, I have been advised that Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Powers will not be available. Yeah, we have a couple absences, so that's fine. That's actually a safe seat between those two fine gentlemen. What do you want to do? I'm looking for brief. I don't care if you sit on the floor. Brief but substantive.
Okay. So real quickly, it's been a good quarter. This is Mark Shigosky for the record from UBS. We turn to page 13. The only thing we'll focus on normally, we give the market overview. So page 13, for those of you that are interested, this is what the yield curve looks like now, where we're able to invest from 2 years out to 30 years out just using U.S. Treasuries. We're about a 2.2% yield on U.S. Treasuries. We're projecting that within the next 12 months, that part of the curve will rise to 2.5%. You can see 30 years out, we're not making much more money. That's why we're not on that part of the curve. It's bigger risk. It's at 2.8%. So just real quickly, David, you want to go through the market, the three portfolios?
Sure. If you skip to page 16 and 17, these are high-level overviews of the assets in the fund. As of August 31st, the assets totaled $140,523,401. Just a recap of how the portfolio is set up. There's three buckets, if you want to think of it like that. All bonds, all fixed income, but essentially we have ultra short-term, less than a year, short-term, and then intermediate. All right, so the three different styles and how it's set up. Page 17, this is as of 6:30. This is another executive summary of how the portfolio is positioned. So the important numbers here are under the box that says duration. The average duration of the portfolio is 2.86 years. Just duration, just quickly, just the average, not necessarily maturity, but the average length of the bonds or the cash flows on the portfolio. Over on the right-hand side is the overweight of credit quality. So the entire portfolio is what we call investment grade, okay, and it's split amongst AAA all the way down to BBB. And then the bottom rectangle looks at the types of bonds, okay, across managers in a roll-up for the overall portfolio. All right, and then we compare that to the limits that were set forth in the investment policy statement, which is the bottom gray line, right? So for instance, there's currently about 28% in treasuries, and you can go anywhere all the way up to 100% treasuries. We don't have that much flexibility with corporates. The maximum amount is 50%, and we're at just about 40%. Any questions on that?
So this way, we're always keeping track of whether it fits into the guidelines of the investment policy statements. You have a summary sheet right away.
Great. Councilor Mark.
Thank you. Your trend investment policy, does it trend upward with treasury percentage or downwards?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Is your investment strategy rebalance?
I see.
With more treasuries or less treasuries going forward?
That's on a month-to-month basis. We don't have, right now, we are what we call underweight treasuries, and that's based off of our outlook of where interest rates are going and where we think the value is going to be. That could change, and we don't put a policy in place because that's a quarter-by-quarter type of evaluation.
But from a strategic standpoint, right now we're underweight treasuries because there's more value in mortgage backs and corporate bonds. So that's why we're on the lower end of the range on treasuries.
Thank you.
So we actually have two sets of performance numbers because of the timing of this meeting. So the first is on page 19. This is as of the quarter end, right? Because we met and
right.
Last time we met. So this is as of 6:30, and you can see each manager for the quarter, and then the bottom line, the overall performance for the quarter ending 6:30 was up 0.72% versus a cost of index of 0.66%. In dollar terms, the portfolio grew 976,000 in that quarter. Then, since we're, it's not June anymore, right? You flip the page.
One of the things we had said was we're going to come in with the previous quarter's number, but
right.
We also have monthly numbers, so we're going to come in with the most recent month also. And if you look at it, the numbers are built back to 2006. Before we were here, we built back the historic numbers back to 2006. And this data is on the system that the county owns at this point. So if something happens to UBS, we're not working with you. All the data that's here back to 2006 belongs to the county, not to us.
Okay. So page 20, this is through August. So in those additional 2 months, you can see the portfolio grew another 965,000 and change, or just 0.72%. And for those 2 months, the index was 0.79. So far for the year, the performance is up 1.9%, slightly behind the benchmark of 2.05. Regarding managers, it's generally too short of a time period to really make any changes or anything like that. We've had at-length discussions with all the managers regarding the pros and the cons of what's working, what's not. Some of them we'd like to see a little bit more from. Some were pleased, but right now there's no recommendations. And generally speaking, we should give them more time. But overall, the performance is good. The one other thing I'll mention, the last thing, in the middle of this page, you see net cash flows, okay? And at the bottom, it's zero. What that means is in this quarter, or in this two-month period, money came in the portfolio and money came out, cash flow needs. $10 million was taken out in July and put back in August. So that's something that we're trying to manage as effectively as possible. Realistically, any time money is taken out of a bond portfolio, it is somewhat disruptive to the portfolio, so we try to manage that. And you can also see kind of the shift. So money came out of Dana, right? But we didn't put as much money back. That was a conscious decision. That's why you see a net outflow of $1.5 million. So those are the types of things that we're doing, as kind of month by month, the portfolio progresses.
Councilor Mark.
Since Dana was moving up, did you take some of the realized profit and diversify and reinvest, or what did you do with it?
It's diversified amongst the other managers. And so what that does a little bit, it shifts the construction of the portfolio. Dana's the shortest term manager. Mm-hmm. We had already had, at this time, we already had our rate hike in June. So we were more comfortable putting more funds to the managers that had a little bit farther and out of maturity. So that's part of the decision.
Thank you.
Okay.
And one of the other items that the council asked us to go through is a diversity report by manager. So if you turn to page 25, that page, the first page here, is a inventory or scale of all the money managers, excluding Wilmington Trust. And I'll show you why afterwards. Wilmington Trust, we asked for their asset management side in terms of the people working there and the ethnic diversity. They gave us for all of M&T Bank. All the other managers are much smaller shops, so we excluded them but have their inventory at the back to show you what M&T looks like. So I don't know if you want to go through it, but this is the full inventory on page 25. Page 26 has Dana Investment Advisors. Page 27 has McGancer, so in alphabetical order. Page 28 is Logan Circle. Page 29 is Richmond. And then on page 30 is Ryan Labs. And as I mentioned, page 31, you can see the numbers are much bigger. They report all 17,249 people that work at M&T Bank, not their asset management arm. They didn't give us a breakdown. And this is Wilmington Trust, which is now a part of M&T. So if there's any questions on it, but we asked to provide this so we do.
Jonathan Street.
What's your view of the level of diversity in these pages you just referred to reflect?
Well, the diversity shows on the summary page, right, that of the managers that are listed here, 38% of the population is female. African American is 4.8%, Latino is 3.4%. Asian American is 5.8. You guys would call that people of color, which makes up about 14%. We weren't asked to take that into account with the managers. I'd say from the minority side, it's a little bit light in the judgment call, but it's the norm within the industry at this point.
And I would respectfully suggest to you that the norm within the industry is woefully insufficient. At best, it's shameful. There are studies that show clearly that when minorities are allowed to be in the ring, they're very successful and have proven success in managing portfolios. And I don't know who picks, who manages this money, but I'm going to continue to raise my concerns about who's managing, who is, how inclusive it is, and it's not inclusive, why it's not inclusive. You know, at the point where you talked about the amount in the portfolio, it's taxpayer money, that's employee money, and I'm not going to sit here and not say anything about the clear absence of diversity in this aspect of the operation.
Well, I'm just going to say, I appreciate it, and bottom line is, you know, had this, you, yourself, Councilman Hollins, and others not raised the issue, this would not even have been part of a presentation. And my expectation is we will continue to have this as part of presentations as we move forward, recognizing you control who the investment managers are, but not who their personnel are. But it's something that we do have an interest in, is the diversity of those that are handling the funds for Newcastle County. Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Councilman Street. I know that oftentimes when these issues come up and these kind of bodies, either they're not encouraged or there's silence. I think the silence is deafening when we talk about these issues, and I can't continue to be a part of this silence. I think that something needs to be done, and I agree with you. If the only thing that we can do is select investment partners for this county that show some commitment to diversity, then that's what we would have to do. And I would agree with Councilman Street. There's too many different areas in this country where continuing racist types of policies, sometimes and oftentimes led by governments, including the United States government, as relates to equal treatment in terms of equal justice, relating to the justice system, I just think that enough is enough. And I think that we need to use every tool that's available to us. If it's only just me and Councilman Street and you, Mr. Chairman, then we need to do that.
No, I'm sure there's more than three members on this council that have a distinct interest in this, and we will be following up on.
I guess you should know at UBS, we take what you two gentlemen just said as council people seriously. Our chief economist, the person who gives us these numbers, is Seth Carpenter, who is a graduate of Princeton and a black or African American. And 20% of our population of investment advisors, to what Councilman Street said, are people of color, and 38% are women. So our numbers are much higher than this, but in terms of our own organization, I think we're at a standard that's much better than the other managers.
Well, I think we're asking for when the evaluation time comes, for maybe a little broader outreach.
Okay.
See if the numbers can't be improved along with the dollars. Councilman Street.
To the extent that banks, corporations, and we're utilizing them in this process, to the extent that they want to limit minority participation to the level of teller and maybe loan officer, if they can't cease and desist from that, then in my opinion, we don't need to be doing business with them.
Chair wants to recognize, again on the record, that Council President Nagel has been here through part of the presentation. Anything further for us? Okay. Thank you very much for coming out. I appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully you can break that 900 and some thousand wall that you're stuck at.
Well, it was only 2 months.
I know. I'm afraid the third one might drag it down. Okay. Next on the agenda, R17-181, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Housing Alliance Double for a pass-through grant for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $24,579. And
thank you.
This is ESG and CDBG funds are allocated to Newcastle County on a formula basis per the HUD guide allowance. And these are, as stated, it's a block grant for pass through to the Housing Alliance of Delaware. Any questions, comments from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. R17-182, amend the FY18 capital program, appropriate $23,506 from the Clerk of the Peace technology fee account for the CloudView capital project for the purchase of an unmanned aerial vehicle UAV by the Department of Public Safety. Bell or Street?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was discussed in great detail in a presentation by our County Police Department at the last Council Public Safety Committee meeting, and a detailed PowerPoint and information as far as training and the uses of such a piece of technology to enhance what is in place now. So we would say as per title.
Any questions by any members of Council? Any questions for the public? Hearing none. Next, we have R17-173. The current status of this is tabled to amend Rule 1.3 of the Newcastle County Council Rules of Procedure regarding maintaining a record of rule changes. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. We talked about this with another resolution 2 weeks ago. This is one where we're changing the rule, which basically says that we are keeping track of all revisions that are made to council rules, and rather than them being on the bottom of a page where they are now, they will always be kept in an endnote or an index. So it will save the space of the rules themselves, although it will be a constant documentation of what was changed. Do you want me, can I just skip ahead to the companion ordinance?
Yeah,
or, and the reason that this was tabled last time is that there's a companion ordinance, because this, our rules have to be consistent with something in the code. So we will also, in 17090, be amending the code to include the language as to where the changes in our rules go.
So, in short, we'll be making a motion to go out of order at the appropriate time on the council floor to entertain ordinance 17-090 and then return to the other order of business consider the accompanying resolution. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. 17-081, an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds of Newcastle County for the purpose of financing certain capital projects approved in the fiscal year 2018 capital budget. This is the final piece of the FY18 budget, and I will tell you right now, I have not made a determination whether I will bring this to the floor or table it this evening yet. This is now the fourth time on the agenda where it's eligible for a vote. So, any questions on 17-081? Okay. 17-085, amend the grants budget, appropriate $1,340,000 in funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority to the Strong Neighborhoods Housing Program 2 grant, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes, as you can see in your synopsis, this is funding that we're getting through the Housing Authority that will help to develop 30 homes along the Route 9 corridor. It will purchase and redevelop them. If you look at your notes, we've also got two nonprofit partners who have been lined up to assist community services with this, Habitat for Humanity and then Interfaith Housing of Delaware.
And I just think, if I may, one thing that I think is of extreme relevance, given all the work that's going in to try to revitalize this corridor, is that not only will they go to income eligible home buyers, but there will be a 15-year deed restriction that it has to remain owner occupied. And I think that's incremental into planting the network to revise Route 9. So, thank you very much. Next, we have Ordinance 17-086. Amend the grants budget, realign $59,650.74 in federal funds within the FY2016 Community Development Block Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes. As Councilman Smiley mentioned, this is movement of funds within the CDBG, and I would throw myself at the mercy of Ms. Sawyer in order to have any more details on that.
Going once, going twice.
If anybody needs them.
Three times. Any questions from any members of council? Any questions from the public? Are you satisfied, Ms. Dillard?
I am.
Okay. Ordinance 17-087, amend the grants budget, realign $396,693.11 in federal funds and appropriate $82,736.61 in additional program income funds within the FY2017 Community Development Block Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Service. Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes, these are part of the CDBG funding. Generally, you know, it will provide financial assistance, rehabilitation assistance, emergency services grants, emergency repair grants. It's just part of what we do.
Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Next on the agenda, 17-088, amend the grants budget appropriating an additional $87,053 in federal funding from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, to the Community Development Block Grant, FY2018, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to yield to Kerry Casey of the department on the next two.
Kerry Casey with the Department of Community Services. The first 17-088 is the additional appropriations you receive from HUD. We have to project what we might be getting from HUD when we develop the budget, and we projected a 5% decrease. So these are actually good news. We got 87,000 more than we thought we were going to get. So. We had to appropriate those funds. And HOME is a pass-through. We fund nonprofits for affordable housing, rental, and home ownership. So those are just the additional funds.
Councilman Carter.
I think the fact that we are able to exceed our expectations regarding continuing support, increasing support from HUD, is largely due to the fact that our community services department and Kerry Casey's leadership has enabled us, by deploying this money effectively, efficiently, for the purposes stated, has enabled us to have a really strong standing with HUD, and despite the very difficult environment that HUD is in concerning budget appropriations, I think it reflects on this county extremely well, and I'm very thankful for it.
Questions from any member of the council? Okay, I will read the next one into the record, and then we'll move on. 17-089, amending grants for the appropriated and additional $32,594 in federal funding from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to the Home Investment Partnership Program, HUM FY 2018, which will be administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To Ms. Casey.
I'm here by colleague Arlene Latham, our Chief Finance Officer, who really is does the work behind all these grants. This was just additional grant funds we received in program income. Again, we project program income, and then we have to appropriate that exceeds a certain amount of money. So that's good news, Jeff. We were able to collect more money in loans that we received. You know, we offer 0% deferred loans to people for home repairs and our down payment settlement assistance loans. So this is just additional funding. We got past what we had projected to get, so we had to appropriate.
So this is actually income above what you had projected,
yes,
from funds that we've invested in the future of people.
Yes, sir. And that's also with the CDBG. We had an additional $82,000. So that's good. It's all good. We projected. We were trying to be conservative. Thanks to Eileen and her budgeting. And then when we have extra, we were able to appropriate it, which is what we want to do.
Much better than coming back looking for more money. Okay. Any questions from any members of the council? Anything from the public? Next on the agenda is 17090 to amend the Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration, or the County Council to maintain copies of rules regarding updates, revisions, rules in Newcastle County. We've already discussed that. I just wanted to read the topic to get it into the record. Am I okay with that? Okay, 17-092 is not in your packet. This is being introduced tonight, but I asked it to be placed on this agenda just so it will bring it to your attention. There will be a substitute that will be introduced tonight. This, we have the FY18 bonding tonight. This will be introduced. My intent right now would be to move this on the 10th. This is the first step in getting the funding in line for the Christiana Force Main emergency repair. We will have an ordinance that will follow this that will allocate the funds directly to the project. So this is just a step in the process, and I just wanted to get this out so people could look at it. It's a very important piece of legislation rather than wait until it's going to be introduced. I mean, until it's going to be voted, I better throw it out in advance, just kind of draw some extra attention to it. Okay, so we will be discussing that on the 10th. Next, we have 17-07.
Just a question on this that we're going to be discussing, you said, on the 10th.
Yeah, because it's just being introduced this evening.
Right. So it says to amend the capital budget. Are we amending the capital budget that has not been adopted, or the existing capital budget?
It will be, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pass this to finance.
So this is Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. This will amend the capital budget. The capital budget is passed right now. What's not passed is the bond authorization to fund the capital projects that are required. The funding source is bonds. And so this is amending the capital budget that's currently passed, which would give us an additional appropriation of $10 million. Councilman Smiley mentioned the substitute bill being introduced. And what that will do is remove three words out of the title, which says, and bond authorizations, because this ordinance here is not issuing bond authorizations. This is just increasing the appropriation. So there will be a companion legislation that would increase our bond authorizations by $10 million.
And so if the bond authorization does not get approved by this council, how does this correlate to?
We wouldn't be able to move forward with the project.
So there's a direct correlation between this and the bond authorization?
Subsequent to this passing, correct.
Okay.
Okay. Next, 17-070, that's under my sponsorship, that's going to remain on the table. So next on the agenda is the separation of systems discussion, part two, HR functions for council, handed by Office of Human Resources, Ms. Vanessa Phillips.
Yes, I have copies of what Ms. Phillips has sent over. This is slightly more detailed than what you received originally, so those are going around the table. And as you recall, the discussion began because we had questions about what the Office of Human Resources, what we thought the Office of Human Resources was providing versus what they think they're providing. So Ms. Phillips has come here today to have a discussion about this. And I think that it would be very fruitful to take a look at this. And Ms. Phillips, do you want to go through this, or do you have, obviously you have another PowerPoint, so go with that.
Well, I'm just making this available in case there are questions regarding any of the specific information on the sheet that you have before you. I did go through a PowerPoint presentation before the Personnel Committee on July 11th, but I had this available in case there's any questions about the source of information.
Question.
Yeah, please.
The American with Disabilities Act, is that under your purview, compliance?
Our employee and labor relations section handles all EEO and ADA issues. Mm-hmm. That is not a function that we perform for the county council. However, we will give information if you need it.
Not so much for county council, but just for
in general, for classified employees.
Yes.
Yes, we do have an EEO officer, Will Jones, who's a human resources technician. I reassigned his duties when I conducted a realignment for the Office of Human Resources. So he is now our EEO 88 officer for the county.
So what's the appeal process for an ADA complaint for a county employee?
Appeal process?
Yes.
I can talk about the interactive process in terms of establishing whether someone's medical condition is covered under the American with Disabilities Act, and our process for interviewing that employee and then researching the law to see if a reasonable accommodation is due to that employee. We do have that process. In cases where an employee disagrees with the EEO officer's decision, then they can appeal to the Chief Human Resources Officer. And there have been cases where I've reviewed a decision by the EEO officer and then met with the employee or their union rep to come up with a resolution. So there's not a formal appeal process, but we do engage in the interactive process for reasonable accommodations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Please.
Ms. Phillips, what I would like you to drill down on is one of the reasons that this all came about is that we did have an issue with the services that council was expecting from the Office of Human Resources versus what you thought we were being provided. I would really like a discussion, not of the specifics of the case, but of what you feel your process needs to be, and then I think we need to, Gesundheit, come together and decide where we want to go with this. So would you please sort of outline where you think you are with regard to council employees?
The county council has an employee handbook that is separate from the personnel policies that we have for employees under the executive branch. Therefore, your employee handbook really gives you guidance as to how to handle employee human resources related issues. As for my office, we handle functions under the pension administration and benefits administration. So the sheet that you have before you outlines, and I believe you have the correct one, that says key functions for county council, has information as to Helen McKinley's duties and her assignment for HR Information Systems Administration. She handles all payroll issues with PeopleSoft, any final payouts, salary administration, and any liaison activities with the HR Advisory Board. Susan Lawler is assigned to the Pension Administration section, which handles everything under pensions, including the pension payroll, any RFPs for the pension board, and any pre-retirement education. And we have Mary Evans, who's assigned to Benefits Administration, and she handles everything from new employee orientation to open enrollment, any COBRA administration when employees are leaving employment with the county. Also, she serves as an OPEB board member and gives guidance to employees as to what benefits are available to them. This is included for the county council. I believe the sheet that you have before you is the key functions for the executive branch. So okay. I can have someone make copies of the key functions for county council, which was distributed as recent as 2 weeks ago. I think I sent an update to all Newcastle County employees, and it had both attachments, one for the executive branch and one for the legislative branch.
Okay. I think where we are in terms of our questions have to do with when there is a problem with regard to an employee.
Yes.
Are you taking the position, and this is important for us, that if there is an issue with the employee, that we need to stand on our own with regard to the process and personnel to deal with that issue?
That is correct.
Okay, everybody, please pay attention, because what that means is that for the future, as we go into the next budget year, we've got to figure out how we're going to do this. There are a variety of ways that this could be handled. Most recently, we've ended up with a contract to deal with this. But I think, and this is the reason that this whole discussion came in under finance, is that as we look to the future, this may be something we need to consider in our budget for the next fiscal year, whether it's some kind of retainer system or part-time employee, or I don't know where this is going to go, but I just want to get this out on the table that clearly we're going to have to deal with this in some form or another.
I would agree, and my mind is we're going to need to have further discussion, look at the options.
Yes.
And it's going to have to be sooner rather than later if we're going to get it into the budget, because the actual, here with you, Kiffish, because they're going to be beginning the departmental budget review on the executive branch shortly, and we want to be prepared. Councilman Street, my apologies, sir.
I don't I'm not looking for a response now, because I don't want anybody to think I'm blindsided. But I heard the question, I heard the response, and I heard the response in response. I'm not so sure I can agree. Because one, be it council, be it administration, be it HR, the council employee handbook should comport with overall county employment regulations, procedures, and operations. There should be consistency there. Second, I don't know how the administration takes this position about council, and on the other hand, says that we have to have the ultimate authority, thus we have a dispute now with the FOP that's in litigation. I don't see how you do that, take one position in one aspect and then take another position in another aspect. And third, the position that the administration takes, that that's the final answer, I'm not sure I agree with that, because I think we have a responsibility to make rules, regulations, laws. And if this council or somebody or some of us put in something that says that's not the final answer, we can change the final answer, then the executive can veto whatever we may put forward. So I'm not sure that the final answer is a final answer, and I'm going to reiterate that it's got to be fair and consistent across the board. And right now, as we speak, Nisi get mad and slap me.
Again.
Okay? Do I go run to the president, or do I go run to the administration? All right, and who has the final answer? And I'm not so sure, even with the last discussion, you know, because there's going to have to be some interaction, depending on what the outcome is. Well, she slapped him, but it only hurt him a little bit. We only want him to speak. Well, this, that, and other happened. Maybe the person should be terminated, but what happens to benefits, all those things pertaining there, too. There's got to be consistency and a procedure in place. And I don't see it just in the little hypothetical I presented that you say that HR administration has nothing to do with it, when inevitably they'll have to have something to do with it.
Councilman Miller.
I understand what you're saying. That's why we need further discussion on this to craft where we're going with it. Because I don't want us to end up in the same situation we are now, basically blindsided. And you're right. I mean, we can make a decision on what we want. We can go into, we can have many discussions, you know, but we have to have something to put in the budget, and that's what I'm trying to get out on the table so we can work on this quickly.
In this wonderful, you and I agree.
I know. It's a miracle.
Perhaps we need to craft a human resources job description to send the human resources to approve for them what we need. Councilman Hollins. Councilman Taggart has joined us.
I just wanted to say that I agree with both Councilman Street and Councilman Miller.
Bases are loaded.
I just think at the end of the day that we need to have some certainty here, and if there's this whole idea now where we're confused about what HR does and doesn't do and what we thought they did, then the least we can do is security to make certain the dollars are in the budget, and then we continue this debate, discussion, to however long it takes. But right now, I think we need to be certain that we have security, that we can get the resources we need, and that means putting $1 million in the budget of whatever we need to put in to make certain we can do that.
All right. Anything further? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we are on grants and community events. First on the agenda is Council of Civic Organizations of Brandywine 100. Councilman Weiner.
This is a grant to fund an educational component for constituents and Councilman Carty in my district on how county and state government work and how citizens should responsibly interact with county and state government.
Is that a financial outreach?
If you think it should be called that?
No.
So be it.
I mean the adding of Councilman Cartier's name to your comments.
I don't know. John's got a lot of needs in this.
What are you hoping for?
Throwing $250.
That's very gracious of you, John. And so I consider that to be a motion for $750 from my district and $250 from Councilman Cartier's district.
We have a motion for $1,000. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you,
not voting. next, we have the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Councilman Powers. Who's handling it? Councilman Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a grant that both Councilman Powers and myself are looking to fund, $500 apiece, $1,000 towards educational and supportive programs to enhance folks that are affected by cystic fibrosis. As we learned and saw in our last council meeting, we honored and recognized Michael Caruso Davis, a young athlete who suffers very serious effects It's a genetic, life-threatening type disease, and he has strived through this organization to participate in various triathlons and marathons, and extremely impressive young man. He is the foundation's male athlete of the year and resides in the MOT area. And so we committed ourselves at the end of that presentation that we would donate $1,000 in his name towards this program.
Okay, so a motion for $1,000.
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Veterans Outreach Ministries, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is a grant to fund veterans in all of our districts.
The hand that keeps giving.
Exactly. So just a little blurb about them. As the Veterans Outreach is a nonprofit organization that provides career training and skills workshops to assist veterans all over Newcastle County in finding and securing employment. In some cases, they provide emergency food, clothing, shelter to veterans, and are working to provide counseling and emotional support for veterans and their families. They did send in the application and request $2,500, but I can only give $500 this time, so I'm going to make a motion that I give $500.
Motion. Councilman Woods.
I'll add.
Pardon?
I'll do $500.
Okay.
I can do $250.
Please put Councilman Weiner down for $250.
Okay,
$250
as well.
Okay.
So you're at
17. Okay.
Okay, so I'll read the rest of my statement.
No, we're at 1,000. We're at $1,750.
Street.
I'll do $250.
Okay, I'll get them to you. Right now we have Councilman Hollins at $250, Councilman Street at $250. Councilman Tackett at $500, Councilman Woods at $500, Councilwoman Kilpatrick at $250, and Councilman Weiner at $250. So we're at $2,000. So can we amend your motion?
All right. So.
Motion for $2,000.
Well, I'm thinking. I think I'm going to make a motion for $2,500, and I'll go to $1,000.
You'll go to $1,000. Okay.
So, motion for the Veterans Outreach Ministries for $2,500.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Okay. Cedar Lane Elementary School, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cedar Lane Elementary, part of the Appaquinimic School District, is within the 12th District. They recently had a fundraiser, the school, PTA, and they regularly receive support from parents and various organizations. But the fund drive was to try to reach a goal of $30,000 in order to buy, purchase, and provide portable iPad carts for the students.
So you want a motion to lift the cap?
Huh?
You want a motion to lift the cap?
No, thanks. It's 25. So they did fall short of their goal. I had spoken with the principal and asked if I could be of assistance as the district council person on behalf of council. And I'd like to move for $2,500 to go towards this project. And the school itself, their goal is to provide the students with as many opportunities to interact with various technologies, both today and in the future. And without a doubt, I'm very proud to say I think Appaquinimic School District is at the top of the heap when it comes to school districts in the state of Delaware. They're right up there at the top.
Okay. There's a motion for $2,500. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Okay, that concludes the grants. Expense and revenue roundtable. I'd like to make a motion to transfer $15,000 from council's contingency account to the open purchase order for outside council.
Second.
Motion have a second. Any questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Under other, is there anything under other? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And I am voting. Thank you, brother.